Christmas. It is, today's the 12th day. It's still Christmas. Tonight is 12th night. But also Happy Epiphany, which is actually tomorrow, but we're kind of celebrating it today. Please have a seat. So today's 12th night. That means that Epiphany's tomorrow. And Epiphany marks the end of the Christmas season. But it's important enough in the cycle of the church year and in our stories that I hope, even though you're not in church, you'll give it a thought tomorrow. And, of course, we're giving it a thought today, and we certainly didn't want to miss out on a chance to sing Brightest and Best to the Stars of the Morning and As with Gladness Men of Old and all those favorite Epiphany carols. But just what is it that we are celebrating with Epiphany? It's actually a matter of some obscurity these days. Even the word Epiphany does not mean what it used to. In everyday speech these days, the word is used to signify a sudden realization, an understanding, usually a life-changing one, that seems to come out of the blue. But in Greek and in church, Epiphany actually means manifestation. Something outside of the realm of our senses, in this case God, becoming visible, becoming touchable, the unseen becoming seen. Since the new year began, back at the beginning of Advent, we've been talking about God's light coming into the world. And at Christmas, we notice the unlikely, astonishing point of entry for God's light. A human being, unlikely enough in itself, a baby, powerless and humble. Why not an angel ablaze with glory? Why not a mighty warlord, at least with a gleaming sword? But no, in that unlikely place, at that unlikely time, in that unlikely way, God's light comes into the world. God's own self comes into the world as a human baby. For the 12 days of Christmas, we celebrate that God did such an astonishing thing. And now as we draw to the end of the Christmas season, we celebrate the light coming to us personally. Our own moment of enlightenment when we come to know, each of us, that Christmas, that God's light is for each of us. Now our principal story for Epiphany is, of course, the story of the Christmas star. It's a wild and unlikely story, just as the Nativity itself is. A new star appears in the sky, and wise folk from eastern lands, astrologers most likely, understand the star to be a call to journey to a distant country to see the prophesied King of the Jews. We know that the story has stepped out of the realm of reality and into symbolism when Matthew tells us that the star stopped over the place where Jesus was. Stars, after all, just don't do that, and one does not have to be wise to know it. The story, though, is filled with symbolism, so much so that we might take the whole account to be symbolic rather than factual. And there would have been good reason for Matthew to hide his true meaning in symbols, because the story he has to tell would have been politically deadly in his day. So just what are those symbols? Well, the wise ones significantly come from the east. We traditionally number them three because there are three gifts named and call them kings because their gifts are royal, but Matthew says no such thing. They could have been two or they could have been 50. For Matthew, what matters is that they are wise ones, scholars of the sky and of prophecy, which meant religious scholars, and that they come from far to the east. Their journey, after all, took 2 years. They come from lands, in other words, that the Roman Empire and Alexander's Greek one before that had never been able to conquer. The message, the symbol, is that Jesus' empire will truly be global, revealing the Roman Empire's claims of world domination as empty, and the emperor to be merely another king. of these wise emissaries from unconquered nations with strange gods willingly bow down before the baby Jesus. They who never bowed down to Caesar, even under duress. This is just as seditious as it was for early Christians to say Jesus is Lord. The baby is king above all kings, his God, God above all gods. That is seditious indeed in the Roman Empire. King of kings and Lord of lords were, after all, Caesar's titles. And what about those gifts the wise ones offer? Things useless to a baby, although the gold would certainly have helped his parents, the gifts are clearly meant to be symbols as well. Gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, and also myrrh for death. Jesus is, Matthew claims, by these offerings, high king and high priest of the living and also master of death. This is a lordship that not even Caesar had dared to claim. Now, the absurdity that saves all of this symbolism from utter irrelevance is that Matthew claims this global kingly and priestly authority is not for the oppressed Jewish people, nor, as he makes clear, for Herod, their ruler, but for a human nobody, a baby with a family tree fallen from power to obscurity, of the house and lineage of David, but born in a manger. Matthew claims the authority of kingship for someone that even the meanest slave, even the most outcast beggar, can relate to. So the great epiphany, the great manifestation of God that we celebrate, is the appearance of God among us, whose authority is absolute, but whose power is entirely given away, who submits completely to the joys and terrors of a human life like ours, so that the light that comes into the world will not be dim and distant, but bright and within reach. So where and when was your epiphany? When did you realize that God was in your world? What star led you to this place? Perhaps it hasn't come to you yet. God's light, God's love might be something you've heard about but never really felt. Perhaps it came to you so long ago that you don't really remember it. Maybe God has always been present in your life. Or perhaps you've had one of those experiences that become the source of story and even symbol, where you have been suddenly and unexpectedly overwhelmed by God and turned your life in a new direction. Or maybe your epiphanies are less dramatic but more frequent. Perhaps the light keeps shining through in surprising places and at surprising times to remind you that God continually breaks in. Whether your own epiphany is momentous or continuous or yet to come, know that the light that has come into the world is constantly trying to come into your life. There are indeed bright stars all around you, blazing with love and faith and hope and charity, who will lead you to God if you are wise enough to follow. And when you come to the place where God is manifested in your life, like the wise ones, you have your own gifts to offer. You have your power, your worship, your treasure, your life, to both acknowledge that seditious authority of God and Jesus, and to lead others to the manger, to become in your own way a Christmas star. Amen.